This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella loved to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Oh my God! Can you believe how hot I came in? It's Drag Her, a podcast about drag and everything else we like to scream about. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, rate and review us on the iTunes. If you hate what you hear, bye. I have an incredibly special guest today. You remember him from the before time. I have Elliot Glazer.
Hey.
Glazer. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am lovely. I'm gaggy. I'm cute. Every catchphrase of gayness I can think of. We were talking before, and we have to get, before we jump into this episode, have to know, did you leave Equinox?
I didn't leave yet. I'm planning my escape.
And now we play the music. Da, da, da.
No, I mean, I called management and I called corporate and was like, can you provide me any, you know, reason to stay?
Right.
And they were like, we donate to this fund and that fund. And we're clearly, we have pride in our staff and, you know, and like, and I get it. Like,
did they sigh like that?
No, I did.
We have pride in our staff.
Well, I could tell she was exasperated and
totally
without saying it. She was basically like, I'm with you. Like, I can't believe we're in this weird position too.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm leaving. It's just logistics because I have to like figure out location wise
where
to move. And yeah, like it's a whole thing because
right.
of work, but I think I'm going to leave. It's complicated. It's complicated and it feels icky. I feel icky when I'm there. I feel now.
You should.
I feel like I'm like, it's like I'm in like I'm in the wrong place.
You are.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't like what they've said about this guy, Stephen Ross, the idea that he's like a silent partner. It's like, I don't know what that is. And also like,
yeah, that's not
how
true.
Silent can somebody be if he's on your board? How are you not lining his pockets in some way or another?
That's crazy.
But then again, the staff is all so
right. Queer. And because I talked to a queer trainer there who's awesome and like a genuinely fantastic person. And he was like, you know, I understand this. He's like, also think about how I think like our employees are sick. Like the employees of Equinox are like 65% queer.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, that's actually going to affect us, not the people
that's
at the
thing.
Top.
I don't want to be part of taking jobs away from
right.
perfectly deserving people. And it is easier to say quit and like you should quit or like stop, you know, quit your job. Like it's easy to say, you know, like end your and your membership, but it's harder to say quit your job. And
yeah.
that's what I feel.
It just
bad
when you
for those
I
people.
Feel so powerless and it's yeah. like this feels like I'm doing something.
I just can't see how that guy is not is not affected positively from being on the board, silent partner or not, or whatever he is. And
he's getting checks every month.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's
that's
like
what's happening.
And then there was a leaked call that I read about where it was like some big wigs at Equinox were on like an all hands call with the staff. And they said like, he's not a bad guy. He voted for Hillary. And it's like, mm-mm. So he voted for Hillary, but he's charging $250,000 for people to sit in a room and meet that fucking toad.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit. But I'll tell you what, I left. I found a great CrossFit gym in the Los Feliz. If
mindset?
You're in LA, you got to come over here. Yeah, It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's not, you know, you're not going to get the amenities, but here's what you can do. Before you leave Equinox, go in there and fucking supermarket sweep everything you can. That's what I'm going to do. I mean fucking steal.
Oh, steal.
Steal lotions, towels, equipment. Towels.
Yeah.
I'm going to win the supermarket sweep. I will say
that the thing that makes me bougie is just that I would pay all that membership money literally for the eucalyptus towels.
Uh-huh.
Cold towels is all I care about. Mm-hmm. But also, honestly, for me, like, I used to do CrossFit, and uh-huh, I'm all about ventilation, and I could not find a CrossFit gym
with that, proper ventilation.
Yeah. Or a regular gym. Like, I'm serious.
I hear you.
It needs to be like a meat locker in here, you know? And
yeah,
Equinox has surpassed that for me. And anytime it doesn't feel frigid, or at least close to it, I'm like, excuse me, corporate, what is going on here?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I left because, at least in the meantime, it just felt like the only choice I had.
I know. I'm not thinking about leaving. Like, I'm going to leave. I just have to, like, genuinely plan my work. What's that?
Yeah, no, just figure out where you're going to go.
Just plan my actual, yeah, where I'm going, because it involves, like, other facets of my life.
Yeah.
Like my dog.
Well, like Avril Lavigne, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And I got your back. You know what I mean? It's that damn cold night.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out this life.
That's right.
You guys want to hear about Equinox, but I know what you want to hear about more. The All-Stars Season 1. Oh, my God. All-Stars Season 1. What do you think about the season in general, Elliot?
I don't know if I watched it at the time.
Uh-huh.
No, I must have. I must have watched it at the time. But, God, it's so funny. I had to look up how old it was, because it looks like it's from, like, 2005, and it's from 2012.
Yeah.
But it looks so old.
Why does it feel so old?
And it feels slow.
Uh-huh.
You know, it feels like, and you can't, not to fault them, because it's their creation, but it just feels like they're getting their footing.
Yes.
And the editing and the cutaways and all that stuff. It just feels old and slow.
Yeah. They were like figuring out how do we tell new stories about queens we've already met?
Yes.
Sometimes they didn't know how to do that.
Right. And also I I'm a fan of the show for sure, but I don't remember Chanel. I didn't know who that was.
Oh, she's from season one.
Okay, which I don't think I've ever seen.
You have to. It's on iTunes now.
I know. Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, I love it. But that one is really jankety.
But see how the thing, and I feel like a spoiled brat for saying this, but it's like I'm used to being spoiled with the speed at which the show runs now, the speed of like the self-referential
right,
like nature of the show, and the sort of jokes within editing, like it has such a specific pace that I think it would be a challenge.
It's like phase three of the extended Marvel universe.
Exactly.
And you're going back to Iron Man.
That's the thing. It's hard to do. Like, it was a little hard to watch this episode just because it felt like, I'm like, I wish it would pick up the pace a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's only 42 minutes, so it's like,
it kind of dragged in the workroom.
I usually love the workroom.
Yeah.
Well, because when the workroom's good, we get some of the best moments.
True.
The rawest moments, like your Fifi and Sharon fights.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just like Latrice being wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just mean like historically in the show. Like, I love the workroom, but I'm a little unique in that way. Like, like that moment where they're like just being themselves.
Yeah,
bit.
Was like, oh man, it was fun to watch, but I wish it had sped up a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, first, beggars can't be choosers. But secondly, it's like I'm only complaining about it because I'm spoiled by how great the show is.
Right. Because you're used to the next generation.
Exactly.
So we'll stumble through the show. Let's talk about them getting back in the workroom. Alexis, you know, we have Latrilla gone. Oh, my God. Yes. Latrilla's gone. Were you gagged, or were you like this when they left? Were you like, that made sense?
From what you can recall. I was bummed. I was definitely bummed.
Yeah.
I love Latrice
so
much. And I still think that even after her sort of the way that she was received in the last episode, the last season of All Stars, where people were like, she's not pulling her weight, or she's not stepping up or whatever. It's like, she's still so fucking legendary and so special to see on TV.
Yeah.
And so special within the realm of the show that it was that, you know, whether the decision was right or wrong, I was just, it's always a bummer not to see Latrice champion.
Latrice could have her own Drag Race spinoff. And
of
it's
course.
Like, it could almost be called like Legendary Queen.
Right.
And like the theme is, here's how you be the legendary drag queen that built drag queen legacies.
Yeah, I think the idea too is that like in watching her in her original season, she supersedes any she supersedes any like expectation you might have of, you know, a former, I hate saying criminal, but she was in jail for probably nonsense, you know, but nevertheless, like she was in jail. Like
it was like for fees that like were like court fees. She didn't,
which is why I don't like saying criminal. It doesn't, it's not correct.
Right.
But
exactly.
Just the idea that this person was in jail and that, you know, as a boy, he wears these like beanies and he's like, he's not, you know, conventionally attractive or whatever. And the moment that you meet him and understand his personality and see him in drag, everything changes, and that's a quietly revolutionary in just the way through my eyes. It feels
it's
like
and
like getting to know him, it's like you just fall in love with him. And
shocking.
He just kind of supersedes any expectation you might have of him. So any time he gets let go on the show is just devastating.
And also Latrice like understands how silly it all is. Like one of my favorite quotes of hers from season 4 is like, she's like, you know, someone's freaking out, and then she like has a great talking head moment where she's like, really?
Yeah.
Really, dude? Or I think it was Dita talking about like, I don't eat certain foods in front of people because they're ignorant. And Latrice is like, really?
Yeah.
You're a dude in a wig.
Right.
It's not that serious.
Right.
And the ability to both like be in the Matrix but make fun of the Matrix is incredibly powerful.
Yes.
Thing that Latrice possesses.
I love her so much. And so, it's a bummer.
Amaze.
Always sad to see her go.
I gotta keep talking about what happened in the episode. Alexis actively hates Manila and is glad she's gone.
I mean, what a funny... Sometimes I wonder how real these fights are. I mean, it's like, it's real life. So it's like, and they're kind of coworkers.
Right.
So of course there's gonna be fights and rifts and, you know... With someone like Fifi, it's like, yikes. Like, she seems unhinged in her bullydom.
But truly.
Then you see something like Manila versus Alexis, and it feels real. And it's just, I guess, it's very naive of me and very Pollyanna-ish, but I'm like, why can't we all just get along? Like, they're all so, you know, incredible in what they do.
Right.
And all providing their own language and taste and style. And I guess I'm just like, oh, I wish there wasn't fighting.
If for some reason, their fight feels like professional contemporaries.
Mm.
Like it doesn't bother me as much because it just feels like when you're just like it's weird to say, but like it feels the way that you fuck with like another athlete.
Yeah,
you're like, you're an athlete,
right?
I see your skill level, but also fuck you, dude.
Right, like, and they can be polite.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just it's like. The lay of the land a little bit. It's the lay of the land. It's like work fighting.
I miss that, obviously, because now we're in this like little different era where everyone's like seeing, producing themselves and careful. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but like people don't want to be destroyed online by the scary gays.
I've also never watch Untucked.
Yeah.
I never have. And if I
missing out,
I know, but if I, and that's what friends say too, but if I tried to explain why, I guess would be because I don't care about the fighting or I don't care about the conflicts really.
Right.
Like, sure, they're real. It could be interesting plot points across the arc of the show, but I never care enough to watch them like argue with each other.
Really?
Yeah. Cause it feels,
I love the fights.
It feels like a separate, it is a separate show.
It is.
And it's just not a narrative that I like. It's not that I'm for or against it. I'm just not interested in it.
Why do I love it so much?
I don't know. I mean, people do love watching fighting on TV.
I love it. Well, you know, I mean, to quote Barbara Walters, I want to, you know, make sparks.
Right.
Like, I want to see those sparks fly.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I love, and I think I do love when there's like, we're, I mean, obviously, you know, as queer people, we're the best. we're the best at fighting because we've had years of wounds,
yeah,
and years of defending ourselves with humor, yeah, and reads and all that fun stuff.
I think what surprises me often is the idea that especially like Drag Race, mm-hmm, contestants are a minority within a minority. They are established drag queens,
yeah,
you know, who are on this cultural phenomenon. So yeah, they're like, you know, special within special within special. And so at that point, I'm like, why are you fighting? Like, you guys they've like made it to such a certain degree, and they've received such an amount of, even if they're not like Aquaria or whatever, they're, mm-hmm, still like considered special because they've made it onto the show. And so I'm just like, why are they fighting there? But I know now it's like, it's obviously contrived and there's,
sure,
you know, self-producing in that realm. But
sure,
I never cared. But I also don't care about like watching fighting really in any genre.
Oh yeah, you need, your brain is too good.
Yeah, right.
You don't like eating trash.
And I know, I love eating trash. I just love
your
eating.
Your brain doesn't like watching trash.
Right. I watch for the colors, I think. It's the show's so colorful that I'm into it.
Yeah.
But I don't watch like shows where people fight. There's a little bit on like, I just watch Real Housewives of New York. That's my only like Bravo show.
Uh-huh.
Because I still think it's the weirdest show in the whole franchise. And like, you can't, that is a kind of weird that is hard to come up with.
Yeah.
You know, the weird story, like Bethany and her weird ex-husband and Luann thinking she's a singer. Like, that's a type of weird trash that I like because it is so bizarre. The show
the
is
Countess
so bizarre.
Has a real history on this podcast.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, her spirit and ghost has been with us, actually haunting this space for months now, yeah, ever since Matt Rogers invoked her,
right,
via a gay seance.
They're so weird. They're
weirdos.
She has
like music,
but she can't sing and the music is bad, but people go see her because it's so bad it's good. She's like, yeah, a Florence Foster Jenkins type.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Oh my God. That is the first time it's all made sense to
me.
Right?
And somebody said that to me too and it blew my mind. She's Florence Foster Jenkins. She thinks she can sing. Then people tell her she can't sing or people are afraid to on the show.
Sure.
But they tell her and she doesn't fully believe it. But then people show up in droves because it's a train wreck.
Yeah, I prefer calling her a William Hung of today's
world. Totally. But I will tell you this. I went to one of her first shows in New York.
Okay.
Thinking, this is like at the very beginning, thinking this will be really fun because she's in on the joke.
I was
like,
she's not.
This will be fun because it's like a room of like gay guys and straight women.
Right.
And they're so excited. And I'm like, okay, so these people all get camp. And Countess gets camp and understands this is campy. Mm-mm. She was so earnest in a way that was really depressing to me because at that point, everything in my eyes changed because here all of a sudden was a room full of gay guys and straight women, yeah, laughing at her.
Now you're watching just a slaughter.
That's the thing. And it's like, and she divvies up the show where it's like, she basically does like three songs and it'd be generous to call her singing. Like, she's like doing the B. Arthur like talk sing, you know. And then she's bringing on like people who are like performers and musicians in between. It was just the weirdest moment because I couldn't believe that she had no sense of humor about it at all. She really thought because you can't go on stage and sing like she does if you don't actually think you're good, because that's a disconnect. You know what I mean?
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I don't like it.
I was so bummed because I really thought, oh, she's in on the joke. This will be fun. And, you know, this will be fun and light and airy. And it was very tragicomic.
No, yeah. No. Her spirit haunts every space it enters. And her ghost will live on for eons and eons.
Chic, c'est la vie. C'est bon, c'est bon.
C'est bon.
So
next in the ep, I have to go back. Next in the ep, we have just, you know, the talk of who's going next, who's going to die. Chad says she's a motherfucking assassin, but it felt very ADR-y. And we have our mini challenge of cheerleading. They love doing cheerleading on the show.
Yeah, that's
this
true.
This is like the third time it's shown up.
Right, because they did it this season two, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a season three cheer challenge.
Am I wrong or am I imagining Silky as a cheerleader at some point?
Silky, maybe.
Is that right? Or maybe I'm just imagining her in an outfit that...
She also wore like a band chorus line cheer. Maybe she was also a cheerleader.
I can't remember. Oh.
Did they do a cheerleading mini challenge on 11?
I can't remember.
Okay, here's what they did. On season 3, they do one where they make over these guys, jocks and frocks.
Uh-huh.
And they have to also do a cheer on safe sex.
Right.
And that's when Raja explains to Sharon Osbourne what barebacking is.
Okay.
What is barebacking, darling?
The one with
season
with
9,
Eureka, right?
Season 9,
right.
Yes, where Eureka's leg comes off.
Right.
That one was incredibly volatile and dangerous.
Yes, yeah, scary.
That's like a full maxi challenge. And then this one also where it's just cheerleading.
Like the Olympics, maybe? That's what I'm thinking of, right?
Olympics with was Silky? Season 11.
Yeah. That's not cheerleading, though.
I guess not, because there was some ribbon twirling and
right.
stuff.
Right, that's what I'm thinking of. The ribbons, yeah, that's not cheerleading. Okay.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say this. Their cheerleading happens. They all look insane. There's some really light racism in this.
Oh.
There's some weird moments. There's a lot of POC on POC queen shit that happens
yes.
in these earlier seasons where, like, yes. one POC queen says, you look like Jackie Chan.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's pretty crazy. When we talk about being ashy, like, with each other, it's well, they can do it. And so they're giving us permission to laugh. And it's, you know, it's so funny.
Uh-huh.
But it does feel very, like, at this point, a little outdated.
Right. And I love when Chad gets called old. She just laughs at herself.
You know what's funny? I think this was the first season of the show that I watched because my boyfriend at the time had roped me into watching it because
uh-huh.
I thought I would never be interested.
Uh-huh.
And I remember how me and my boyfriend and his friends were kind of jarred by Chad Michael's face.
Oh, me too.
You know, it is jarring. Because
it's jarring.
It's so uncanny.
It's uncanny.
But then, you know, the magic of TV and the editors and the show and just his personality.
You fall in love pretty
so
quick.
Lovely.
Yeah, I remember watching season 4 and being like, this person has to go.
That's it.
And then being like, wait, this is one of the best humans I've ever met.
Sorry, that must be this season that I first watched the show because it was meeting Chad, you're like, oh my God, it's so jarring. And then you just fall in love. You just fall in love. And
yeah.
you see he's this lovely man and his devotion to his craft, and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And yeah. there's those way too candid moments where he's talking to his boyfriend, and his boyfriend's like, I love you too, baby.
Yeah, it's so cute.
They're just these moments of like, wow, these people are real.
Yeah.
Okay, Chanel looks like a mythical pig from Spirited Away. Because of her makeup is
right.
what I'm saying.
Right, it's intense.
All the reads were pretty funny. The go home read is really funny from yeah. Rujubi. That's a good read.
Yes, it is good.
Go home. Shad's feels like a Tolkien poem.
Yes.
Like, it feels
a little
weird.
Unwieldy.
It feels like when your mom, like, when you, like, get bullied by kids and your mom's like, here's what you say to them.
Right, right. Here's what you use back.
You have hair of wheat, long and straight, like the sun.
It feels like he's never done it before. Like,
I know,
like a
right?
read, but he has to have.
Oh, well, do you think the right team won in the mini challenge?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to dig into the maxi challenge right after this break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times.
I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, diva. So why should payday? Yes, I'm a robotic bitch. And the one thing that makes this robot go cuckoo ca-choo is money. Not tomorrow, today. And guess who helps with that? Earnin. That's right. Earnin will put the money in your hands today. You can get $100 per day or 750 buckarooskies per pay period. All you have to do is download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. You get access to $100 a day as you work. And you can do it from absolutely anywhere in the darn world. That's why I love Earnin. It makes money easy, because, you know, sometimes your employers act a fool, okay? Yeah, it's like they're in the Untucked Lounge and they're acting a fool girl. So whether it's for a special night out, you want to treat your loved one, an unexpected bill from the vet, yikes, or rent, bitch, you can use Earnin to your advantage. Make it a part of your financial routine. Join the over 3.5 million customers who say, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Plus, peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Drag Her under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And we're back. Oh, what a good break.
Beautiful break.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, it's such a beautiful break.
So the challenge is girl groups.
Yes.
And we have the daughters of famous ladies.
Yes.
Who are arguably also stars in their own right coming in. We have the daughter of Sharon Osbourne.
Kelly.
We have the daughter of Vanessa Williams.
Jillian Hervey.
Hello.
And whom I love because yes, she's in the band Lion Babe.
I didn't know that.
This band
really
is so good.
Really?
And I didn't even know this was Vanessa's daughter for a long time. Because the band is so good in its own right.
Yeah.
She is so... I love their music.
Fuck.
Lion
well,
Babe.
She's fucking killed the episode.
Oh, she's the best.
And the daughter of Pia Zadora.
Yeah, I don't know
Katie
who that
Z.
is.
I don't know either. I want to
I've heard
say...
B. Arthur say her name like in her one-woman show, but I still never bothered to
Pia.
Look it up.
I don't know either. I want to say I found out at some point, and I was like, oh, that's who that is.
She seems the least interested in actually being there.
She really... shits the bed in this or like, I mean, I don't know if it's the edit. No, it's not the
editors,
it's not the
edit.
Because it's not the edit. She's just the kind of person who's like, when you're like, let's go, we're gonna go to this fun fusion restaurant, and she's like, I don't know what I eat
what
there.
Am I gonna eat?
Oh, I don't. What about pad thai? Can we just get pad
right,
thai
right,
and you're
right.
like, oh my god,
right?
Yeah, I don't know why she signed up for the show. She seems to hate it.
Yeah.
They have to pick a song and then do a little number to it. Which song would you pick of these, Elliot? You have to be in
Let's
a girl
see.
Group.
They did...
Cover Girl.
Right.
Glamazon.
Right.
And Jealous of My Boogie.
I think it would be Glamazon.
Mm.
Yeah. Because there's just a lot to... I mean, all of the songs have something to work. No, you know what? I think to win the challenge, I would pick Cover Girl.
Right.
That seems the most... spunky mm-hmm. and fruitful for like playing with however you want to play with it.
Yeah.
And but wait, I'm trying to forget, which one did Jujubee sing?
Jealous of My Boogie.
Okay, because that was killer.
It was killer. I was surprised
her
that they did
killer.
That. I mean, her lip syncs are always the fucking best.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they picked the same song they did on their season.
Right.
Because I would think you'd want to do something you haven't done. Because like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. But maybe they were just like, wait, we can use this to our advantage because yeah. we're comfortable with it.
I will say I was like, I understood the challenge, but I was still surprised when it was like, oh, wait, it's girls singing the songs.
Oh, my God.
It just kind of like knocked. It was like, wait, what?
And can you believe?
It makes sense, but it took a second for me to kind of like process it.
Can you believe how many times they've repackaged these songs?
Well, that's part of Rue's genius.
It's genius.
It's also a way of having to pay any fees for
nothing
to labels for their publishing.
Because she just signs a piece of paper that says,
It's really brilliant.
Because wait, we've had a girl group challenge with this. We've had a Pitch Perfect challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All Stars 3 had a challenge where we had divas impersonating the style of divas singing Rue songs.
Right, right, right.
And also
every season there's one theme song,
mm-hmm.
new single by Rue that the girls sing, and also usually going down the runway it has a Rue song.
Uh-huh.
It's all just like built-in marketing that's just brilliant.
It is brilliant. There's even another thing. Oh, we've even had ones where like in season 3 where like you all have to sing the same song
yes.
in different musical genre styles.
Yes, so funny.
I think we all remember where we were when Carmen Carrera sang a reggae version of, what song was it? Now That the Time Has Come, whatever that
Adrenaline?
Is.
Adrenaline? No.
No, it's not Adrenaline. Maybe it's Superstar. Anyway, she knows how to repackage the same
it's
thing
brilliant.
A trillion times.
Yeah, she's not. It's not a joke that she's brilliant at marketing herself.
No.
She does it.
Not
she kills
a joke.
It.
It's smart. And then it may, honestly, there's songs, Rue songs I've heard where I was like, I don't like that.
And then they grow on you.
They grow on you.
They
like,
really grow on you.
Like a zombie outbreak.
Yes.
Crawling across your skin. And you're like, I can just cut off my leg.
They grow on you. It's crazy.
Keeps
they
going.
All do.
It gets going to spread.
I love Jealous of My Boogie, but
me
I really
too.
Peanut Butter is like a genuine song. They haven't used Peanut Butter a lot on the show.
No.
But Peanut Butter is so good.
You like it?
I love it.
I kind of hate it, but maybe I hate like it.
I love it because it's that like big Freeja bounce, and I can all
uh-huh.
I think of is like Shangela.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. It's so fun. I love it.
It
but
is,
I think some of her songs, Adrenaline's a great.
Adrenaline's amazing.
Great song. I think that would probably be her strongest. You know, her strongest song.
Just song, period?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I think Sissy Walk is also wonderful.
Yeah, Sissy That Walks up there.
And I feel like only in recent, like the last year or two, I feel like I've heard her songs played like on the radio or like at the gym or like,
yeah.
I feel like I hear them in like mainstream formats now, which is, again, like, that's awesome.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal because, oh, wow, the checks she's getting must be so lovely.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Ooh, just to take bite out of part of that check.
The house that she built, the world of wonder, the house that Rue built.
It is
or
cool.
Or vice versa.
How, it's very vice versa.
Yeah.
How, like, she has been with the Fenton and the Randy
yeah.
ever since that first video for Work.
Yeah.
You better work.
Right, yeah.
They made that video.
And their story is like, producers who started in, like, nightlife and
uh-huh.
kind of the artsy world. Like, that's so fascinating to me. They
yeah.
really, like, stayed true to their vision and their aesthetic and made
yeah.
it like a mainstream thing, which I think is incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I've met them. They were very nice. I met them at DragCon and got to interview them a little bit. They were awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
I hope they continue to take over the gay world and then the straight world.
Yeah, for sure.
I even bought a WoW Presents Plus subscription.
Look at you.
Look
well,
at
have
me.
To. It's in your job description.
Giving back. I know. The Work the World series, by the way, is actually awesome.
I'm sure. I should probably watch that.
It's a show I've wanted to be a show for years where it's just like seeing the queens on the road.
It is so fascinating to think about what that looks like as
yeah.
an economy, as a job, like
yeah.
how you make a living doing it. Because when you're on Drag Race, if you're a viewer like me, like you take for granted what goes into their lives,
mm-hmm.
how they get here, you know, what does it take to get here? How long did it take to get here? What's their like quote unquote training? Who's
right.
their drag mother? Where'd they start? Like, that's interesting to me, fascinating to think,
yeah.
understand the full breadth of like what they do and how they got there.
And there's genuinely unproduced drama in it, which is just the easiest drama of like, bitch, you're late.
Right.
Bitch, you're late to the meet and greet. And now
right.
we all have to stay an extra hour after
right.
the show because contractually you had to meet the queens. It's just like, oh, that's unproduced real drama.
Yeah, totally. I mean, for me, like, everyone thinks this is hilarious, but like I have a real soft spot for Cameron Michaels.
Yeah.
Because I love, because as I've tried to explain to people who are detractors or who think I'm crazy for loving her, my whole thing was that I thought she was a completely sort of forgettable contestant, and forgettable in the sense that like she didn't stand out. Not that she was bad at anything. It was just
right.
like
I
she
agree.
Didn't stand out to me, and I didn't know her name. And then once she started lip syncing, I was like, holy shit, she's
right.
so fun to watch. And she's the one queen really who I go back and watch videos of over and over again because I'm hypnotized by her dancing.
I'm hypnotized by her lip sync.
I'm hypnotized.
It's pretty amazing. And she's someone who's like, I counted out forever.
I counted out?
I counted out of the race.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yes, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because she enters the workroom in a bullshit look. She enters the workroom in like an awful
bad wig.
Housewife look.
Yeah, but also like a rough, like it's not my place to, it's not, I have no ground to stand on when it comes
sure,
to like talking about.
Sure, because drag is so hard.
Yeah, but in retrospect, I think even she has said like, what was I thinking?
Like, what was I doing?
The dress was weird and the wig looked kind of off or like just didn't look like it fit correctly.
Shiny.
But then it.
Cry along.
But then she kills it,
I
think, because I just love watching her lip sync.
She's
fierce. And I want to know how she got there. You know, like that's someone I'm like, oh, now I want to know your backstory.
Yeah.
And I want to see videos of you growing to become the same thing with like Trixie. Like I love like understanding the sort of formation of Trixie as she is now.
Yeah.
And we're friendly and she did my live show.
Amazing.
And we like my producer Seth, who's straight, helped put together like the we do a similar poster each month, but we changed it up based on the guests, and he used an older
photo.
Image of Trixie, and she was like, "What are you doing?" Like, not mean about her or anything, but she's like, "Why would you use that one?" I was like, "Oh, my producer's straight. Like, he doesn't know. You know, he didn't know that
he had no clue."
Yeah, and she still looks like Trixie, of course, but it's not Trixie as she is now.
As refined.
Yes.
Yeah. I did notice that you go back, even when you watch like season 7, you go back and see and you're like, oh yeah, that is different.
But it's fascinating because of course it's a journey.
Yeah.
And of course they don't enter perfect. You know, in any job, you don't enter perfectly.
It's
but it's
fascinating.
So fascinating to see how somebody gets from point A to Z.
Right.
And has developed and changed and grown and, you know, how they get there. That's fascinating to me.
I saw this picture of Brooklyn Heights from 2011. And she looks like a fucking gutter slut.
Mm.
She looks just like a Tampa queen.
But then it's so fascinating. How do you get
no shade Tampa
better?
Queens?
But how do you get quote unquote Tampa queens? That's a great drag name.
Tampa queens.
How does Brooke?
I don't know.
Learn to perfect her what she does.
Trial and error.
It's fascinating.
Trial and error. Okay, I have to get back in the app or else our listeners are going to stab us. So we are back in the workroom. They are now working with their queens. Can you believe how unfun it seems to work with Chanel?
Oh, I was going to say how unfun it seems to work with Katie.
With Katie Z.
Oh,
so
my
let's
God.
Talk about Chanel's thing. Chanel's like, can you imagine like ordering a family style dinner with Chanel? Do you know what
God,
I mean?
It's a lot.
A lot.
She's dominant.
She's kind of like an RA who like over explains how your dorm room works.
You know what's so funny about Chanel too? Not to get too off topic, but
please.
It's 2012.
Yes.
And her fashion is so 2012, I guess. The idea that she's like, I'm like, is she wearing like Ed Hardy? It's so, her boy look is so funny. It's
her
so
boy
of the
look.
Era. This like Von Dutch, Ed Hardy, like John Gosselin look. And it's so, it's just so, it's
her
really.
Her boy look is funny to
it's
me.
It's really funny.
That it's very Gosselin.
It's
holy
John
shit.
John Gosselin on a boat with the guy from Von Dutch. Like,
to me, it is like Myrtle Beach bottom. Like hot, like it's like, okay, I see.
Right.
You're hiding in plain sight.
Myrtle Beach bottom.
Like for some reason, you're like, you're wearing like those plaid cargo shorts, but like.
Right.
Something about that butthole says
it's just very funny in that it's so old looking.
Yes.
It makes the footage look like again. I'm like, this is from 2012, but wasn't Von Dutch like way earlier? So it's all kind of confusing.
It also makes sense though. Like if you're like a sickening queen, you're like, I can't keep up.
Right.
With every, I can't keep up with my boy fashion and my girl fashion. Like that's.
Although a lot of the queens have, you know, at least in earlier seasons, chose to look really didn't seem to give a shit about what they look like in the boy in the as boys.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because it's like it's I think that's equally as important now. Maybe not as important as the drag, but you know, you're still on TV and you're still that's
it's
a lot
so
of,
changed.
Yeah.
And you're also seeing a lot more genderqueer clothing.
Yeah, versus like cargo pants and flip flops.
Right. There used to be almost pressure
from
this sort of old transphobic ideas of what a drag queen is.
That's right.
Especially when you watch earlier drag episodes and they're just like, I'm not, you, are you a, are you a, and I apologize for the trigger warning, but they say things like, are you a T? Are you a this?
Right.
And it's like accusatory.
Yeah, totally. And now it's like Evie and, you know, everybody's got like cool sort of like gender queer clothing and it makes sense.
Aquaria's wearing weird shit.
It's great.
I love it. Monet's wearing weird shit in the workroom and it's like, cool. Yeah, fuck
I love it.
Okay, what else? Chanel's Chad saying like, girl, why are you trying to choreograph this? And even though you're not a dancer.
Right.
I love the subtle shade that Chad delivers. Chad gives shade, but it's very direct and kind.
Yes.
It's just
it's
like,
very like, oh God, I was going to say wise old soul, but it's not that it's not a wise old thing. It's just like Chad is clearly a man who's been who's like earned his respect and doesn't feel the need to like, you know.
Yeah.
The claws don't need to come out. It's just like, let's change this. Let's move this and like chill.
I'm just going to try to help you not look Boo Boo the Fool.
Yeah.
That's truly. Like, and like genuinely like, hey, I like you, but like you're fucking it up right
do.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Rue comes in to poke. They show her the strap dance. Hey, just out of curiosity, what kind of girl group would you be a part of, Elliot?
Brownstone.
Oh, what the hell is that?
It's
you
the
were
best.
Ready.
They have the song, If You Love Me. It was like that night. It was a 90s.
Sing it.
If you love me, say it. If you love me, do
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
You if you need me, do
oh
it.
My God, Elliot!
Yeah, but it's like
wait, I'm swooning over here.
Oh, swoon away!
That's right, you can sing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do sing. Yeah,
you do sing.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well,
but
I'm swooning
over
here.
They were the
best.
They did like this song that was in the movie Living Out Loud, which nobody saw. It was like a movie with like Holly Hunter, Danny DeVito, and Queen Latifah.
What?
Really weird movie that. Like closeted teenage me was in love with. And there's a really strange dance sequence, like a lesbian dance sequence with Holly Hunter to that song from the band Brownstone.
Okay.
And it's the best. I love Brownstone.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I want to be a part of something like Eurovision-y.
Yeah.
Trashy.
Okay, sure. Tattoo or.
Oh. You and I.
Tattoo.
You and I.
Although I do have a soft spot for All Saints. The alt Spice Girls, basically.
There was an, oh my God, there's a Greek pop group called Antique. and they almost won Eurovision, but later on, Helena Paparizou won Eurovision on her own. She was part of Antique. There was also a group called Lucky Twice.
Okay.
There's this song that, and I'm going to try to sing it, but here we go. It's really trashy. It's like, I'm so lucky. I'm so lovely.
Was that in America?
No.
It was a Eurovision.
I think it was like Irish, perhaps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, the name of the group is Lucky Twice. The name of the single is Lucky. And the name of the debut album is what? Lucky.
Oh, got it.
they were just that group where like, this is our whole platform.
Yeah. The other girl group that I love that I also have a very soft spot for is Dream.
Oh, I wrote down Dream.
I love Dream.
I want to be a part of Dream because I love that they're all basic bitches.
I love, they all look like every girl
no
I grew up with on Long Island.
To unlock.
But the percussion, all their songs is so, it's
oh,
like
yeah.
34th notes. It makes me so, it makes the music nerd in me so happy. It's everything.
It's that
like
P. Diddy.
Like
yes.
So fast. I
yes.
love that.
It's that P. Diddy production.
It is.
Okay, so then we're poking at Jarlexis. They're going to do some voguing. Super into voguing right now. Katie Z is being already difficult.
Very difficult.
Now they're running choreo on the stage. Okay, Jarlexis is on the stage. Jada's doing that thing, I think you can relate as a writer or creative, where like you're just pitching and gaining no momentum.
Nothing's happening.
I hate that.
Yeah, nothing's happening. It's
it
just
drives,
like talking to talk.
What do you do when someone's like that, where you're like, you're just pitching and you're not like, you're not helping us move forward
you gotta
with
the pitch. You gotta find your inner Chad Michaels and just say it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get it done.
Unreal. when someone's just like, or maybe this.
Right.
Or maybe this. You know what? Or maybe this. Then we're on stage with Rujubi. The editing is unclockable. The editing
really
is like,
is.
We're going to be fine.
Yep.
And then we have Shad with Jillian, and Chanel's being extra and saying, don't put your leg in my face
don't
when you kick it up.
But you know what? She's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
Because she said the judges are going to clock me on this. And it's like, yeah, she's not wrong. They'd be like, your face, you could see Michelle being like, we couldn't see your face.
Truly.
So I get it.
Truly. But Chad's also right when she's just like, move her leg.
Move your leg.
Then move her leg.
Move the leg, right.
It's like, then this, like, instead of creating problems, problem solve.
Yes.
I have to appreciate that. Then well, something I really miss is we get the hotel room montage.
Oh, it's like, what is this?
I miss it.
It's very early Project Runway.
Yes.
And you'd see them like waking up. Who was the queen? Was it Jujubee who was standing, was like on her head?
Let's see. No, we have Raven hits the alarm. She's waking up. We have Alexis opening the blinds.
Right.
Chanel doing a headstand.
Chanel doing a headstand against the bed. It made no sense. It was like,
is
this meditation? What is this?
Girl, your form's off.
It was so funny.
That's not good for your spine.
Also, it really takes you out of the show.
Yeah, I wonder what creatives were like, or who was like, we don't have to do that anymore.
Who knows?
Or who said we have to, just because it's kind of a mainstay.
I think it was Project Runway. Yeah, it was just kind of, but it made no, it was like, it was just, it's so weird. It's so weird.
It is weird.
And it's only like, you know, 6 seconds. Like, it's so short.
There's also shots of people showering.
Right.
Which means like, they were like, okay, put on these shorts.
Right.
We're going to get a shot of you showering your torso.
Yeah, it's very weird.
So that people at home understand you live in a hotel.
Yes, it's very strange.
Because otherwise the audience would be like, where did they come from?
Where are they?
Did they go behind a wall? We're back in the workroom. Great. Kelly talks about being bullied for her jaw. I think she is just a stunningly gorgeous human.
I think so too. She used to annoy me, but I can appreciate her, and I like the way she talks about herself.
I do too. She's fucking cool, man.
She is cool. She seems like a cool, you know, a person who's like, yes, she's born into wealth, but her family dynamic is so interesting that it seems like it's made her a strong person who knows herself.
I loved the connection that she and Jarlexis have as this, like, I don't want to say, they're not like ESL, but they both have a unique angle on how their dialect has affected their lives. They're talking about their grasp on the English language.
Right.
Alexis can't understand Jot on either language.
Yeah, and when Kelly breaks into laughter from Alexis saying that sometimes we can't understand each other in the same language.
I mean,
it's so great.
That's fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
Okay, then we have Chad and Chanel's moment where they're talking about how, like, oh my God, when Chad goes to Chanel's mom's funeral.
Yeah, and she's like, and I love Debbie. I loved her, you know? And it's like,
Debbie.
Oh. But also, like, that is a moment that is so fascinating because, again, it's a weird, interesting peek behind the curtain as to, like, what is life for them as coworkers, as friends? Like, yes, they're drag queens, which is like an outrageously unique job.
Uh-huh.
But they still have their friends. They fight. They were fighting for. I also love Chad's sentiment that it's like, we wasted so much time not being friends.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a great sentiment. We wasted time. Why waste all that time?
And this is just one of the reasons why she wins, where it's just like, oh my God.
How can you not love her?
A perfect human.
Perfect.
Okay, then I could talk about that forever, but I love that. And Chanel's more cool than she was in season one. If you go back and watch season one, she's an asshole.
Yeah.
And she's more like, you know what? I was an asshole.
Right.
Okay, Katie is now being a problem with the makeup.
That was the real, that to me really, that sunk the episode. Not the episode itself, but just that really turned me against her. Because it's like, look, you're going to show up and like, not let them do what they do. Like, what do you mean you don't wear a lot of makeup? Give yourself away to them. They're the masters of their craft. Like, trust them.
You are like the white girl at a bachelorette party at Mickey's on Come Tum Tuesday.
Oh God.
Like, you are not at the right,
you're just like,
quiet, it's my day.
Right. It was really upsetting.
Everyone's trying to catch loads and she's trying to throw her bouquet. Anyways, we're on the runway now. Rue's look is amazing. She has this like electrified early 90s boudoir owner. I lived.
Yes.
I lived. Did you like it?
It looked great.
Let's talk about these performances. We have the Savage Sisters. I thought they were pretty fucking fierce.
Yeah, they really were.
They really were the most rehearsed.
I think so. It just made the most sense.
It made the most sense. That's a hard act to follow.
And how could you go wrong with...
Yes. Jillian.
Jillian.
How
can't
could
go
you?
Wrong.
No, she dances. She's splitting in like the first 10 seconds of the
also,
song.
Also, at the end of the song, the way she lifts her legs so easily, so high, I was like, wait, what?
I know.
That's like inhuman.
It's like an elevator slowly
truly,
rising up.
So crazy.
Unreal.
But yeah, she's so easy to watch. She's so charismatic.
I like their looks. I like their looks actually the least, but they just gave the best performance.
They did. They really did.
Yeah.
Their I like Chad's hair.
I did too.
I loved it.
I did too. It was like Debbie Reynolds.
Yes, it was great.
But once again, it's somehow old but new.
Yes.
Okay, then the next group is Fanny Shosha.
Right.
Kelly
what is
Osbourne.
That? What, am I missing a joke there? Fanny Shosha?
I think Shosha is like a nickname for puss.
I'm thinking Chocha, the way Missy Elliott would say it. Yeah, Fanny Shosha,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So butt pussy? So the name of the group is Butt Pussy.
Because remember Missy Elliott would say, I need to shave my Shosha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's slang. It's probably fun slang. I think their looks are amazing.
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty good, but
yeah,
they did feel
good.
A little sleepy at
it's
times.
It's Katie's fault.
No. Well, this is the group with Kelly.
Oh.
Did you like the group with Kelly and Jarlexis?
Oh, yes. I got confused.
They were wearing the purpley looks.
Yes, I loved their looks.
They were pretty good. I thought the voguing could be sharper.
Yeah.
And, felt a little sleepy.
But Katie also really... Kelly gave it her all,
yes.
Which I liked a lot. But yeah, no, it was fun.
Yeah. And then Katie in V3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jujubee is stars, but Katie's pretty sleepy.
Yeah, but Jujubee's lip syncing was so striking and so good, and it just made up for it. And I loved it. I loved her. I literally like forgot about Katie.
I know. Damn it. Okay, we have to keep going because we know she's basic. They talk about fucking with the lights on during critiques. Do
great.
You bonk with the lights on, Elliot? I think the fans
the
and listeners need
on.
To know. Lights on, lights off.
Dim.
Me too.
Dim.
Super dim.
I mean, who wants the like the lights on?
I literally, yeah, I need like that dimness.
Dim.
If I feel like light invading my eyes,
no.
I hate it.
Yeah. It can't be like bright light. You don't want to be like
no.
looking at it like you're interrogated.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate
although
it.
Although with the lights off completely, that's also fun. That's also funny too to me.
Yes.
Like in the dark, like that's also just funny.
It is like, yeah.
You like, need like one lamp.
Yeah. I need a little silhouette.
Right.
I need to see like
yeah.
the little like the form of
correct.
Someone.
Right.
I want to see the shadow of a dick.
Yes, the shadow.
The shadow. But I also want to see that like highlighted edge.
Right, of course.
Of the nuts.
Of course.
Okay, we're in the bottom
two. The highlighted edge of the nuts, yes. That's the title of your autobiography.
So now we're in the bottom two. We,
there's well, like Rue says, it's hard to split hairs.
The odds are bad.
Split hairs because they're all really good.
They're all really good. The odds are bad.
The odds are bad.
And so we have Jarlexis versus Rujubee, Raven versus Alexis.
Yes.
And this lip sync for Don'tcha.
Don'tcha.
What do you think?
I was surprised. I thought Jujubee would do it.
I know.
I was surprised that Raven did it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, she was great.
She was more like, she has great fuck me energy.
She does. Yeah. Very pussycat dolls.
Yeah.
Alexis, I thought it was fun. I don't think Jar changed anything by buzzing her out, by buzzing herself in.
Right.
It didn't step it up for me in a way
no.
that I think, if it did, could have potentially, you know,
I was like
won.
Glad to see it work because we haven't seen this gimmick
fun.
Happen
yeah.
at all in the season.
Yeah.
But also, I almost wonder if the editing was a little spooky.
Right.
It was a little...
A little weird, but I do love the slow-mo of Michelle's reaction, of like... of their reaction to Jara hitting the buzzer, which I actually
right.
don't think was reaction to that.
Yeah.
It looked in editing like it wasn't synchronized that way, but also who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I don't give a fuck.
I don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
All I want to do is see Alexis Mateo play Alicia Keys. That is one of my favorite things ever. Because
it was so
Alicia
good.
Is so subversively being like, basically being like, Alicia Keys is a butch lesbian.
Yes.
That's like the energy she's feeding you. And the joke of it, the what's so funny about that is it's like, well, I don't think anybody ever said that. Or if they have thought that, they haven't necessarily said it out loud. And Alexis so clearly thinks that's understood across the board. That's the character she chooses. That is so funny to
and
me.
And she also is super interactive with Amber Rose, which
oh,
is
I
like.
I love it. I love it.
Like, and anytime you can have an active character game, you're like, oh, I want to fuck you.
It's the best.
It's great.
It's the best.
Unfortunately, Darlexis goes home. Yes. I mean, someone has to go home. It sucks. And obviously, this whole two-person going home thing is flawed.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
It's tragic.
We're almost out of time. In the interest of our titular name and titular segment, drag her.
Yes.
Is there anyone you want to drag, Elliot?
And it could be a set of fictional characters.
It can be a fictional character or a person if you're bold.
I'm going to drag a group of fictional characters.
Ooh.
I'm dragging the cats from Cats.
Now, the original or the new one?
The new one. Oh. All of them. That show is the weirdest, creepiest,
disgusting,
strangest show.
Awful.
Of adults dressed and acting like cats. You can see their full genitals, but they pretend you can't.
I can't believe how bad it looks.
Oh, well, first of all, the live show is insane. And I've seen it a bunch of times. As a kid, I would see it on Broadway with my, with like, whatever, school,
yeah,
or my grandparents. Then as an adult, I've seen it because I can't believe it's real. Because to me, it's like, it's literally like an acid trip.
Yeah.
And I, but the cats in this fucking movie, man, like, get out of here.
Jennifer Hudson's
disgusting. This is disgusting.
Like, unproportioned cat face is awful.
It's all awful.
Taylor Swift, get out of here. Rebel Wilson, we've seen it, honey.
Enough. It's enough.
Wait a sec. What if someone, did someone go, wait a second, Rebel Wilson fell over. That's unbelievable.
I don't need to see cats in character shoes, you know?
And the side-by-side of Broadway people hitting the dance moves versus the Rebel other people. It's like, no, honey.
I'm so...
Don't do it.
I drag all of the cats from all the generations on stage, on the screen. I drag
the audience that goes to support it opening
weekend.
That's
what's so fascinating, is going to the show and looking around and seeing people enraptured. Like, I went, a friend of mine who was in my band, the band of my live show,
uh-huh,
he played in the orchestra of the revival of Cats recently. He played in that band for like a couple of years in the orchestra for it. And then I would make fun of him pretty mercilessly about it, you know, in fun, of course.
Yeah.
And then he was like, dude, I actually sat in the audience and watched it after like 2 years, because the pit orchestra for the last arrival of the show is like underneath the stage, but not in the front. It's like literally like backstage underground. So it's really weird. They have like monitors or whatever. It's a weird setup compared to like what you usually see on Broadway. And he was like, well, I finally like went and actually sat in the audience and watched the show. And he was like, what the fuck am I watching? You know, he's been playing the songs for years, but then having to actually like see how it unfolds, he was like, this is insane. So it's like, yeah, fuck Bomblerina and the Jellicle Ball and McCavity. Oh, God.
Jellicle.
Maybe it's like, you know, maybe I'm just like dragging Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
For creating this nightmare.
Well, we drag you. We say goodbye. Elliot, before I let you go, we unfortunately have to wrap up. What would you like to plug?
Just follow me on Instagram, Elliot Glazer, and that's where you see all my stuff. Or you can listen to my podcast, You're Making It Worse.
It's so good.
Thank you.
If you're queer and you're not listening, you're dead to me.
Get on it.
Get on it. Listen. Be a part of the solution.
That's right.
Rate and review us on the iTunes. And until next time, Elliot, bye.
Bye.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.